Hey guys. Check. Do I sound weird to you? Write a letter and tell me. I sound a little off. Anyway, okay, yeah, sorry, a bit of a delay between the last episode. Let's just say that was a holiday break, but I'm back on it. And in case anyone's looking for a cat update, which you definitely are, right? Am I right? Man, sorry, this sound is too weird. Check. How about now? Is it better now? Tell me. Okay, so this... Okay, if it's better now, then send me an email and say, like, number one. If it's better now, then send me one that's number two. And that, no, that's not going to work. Okay, write me a letter and then say number one, which is this, check. Number two, which is this, check. Man, I need, like, a technician. I need a producer who's not me. Yeah, so Mr. Cat update. Thank you so much for the kind donations. Oh, man, I should have had those names on hand. I don't know how people are about, you know, knowing, having their name on my podcast. Hopefully you would like it. I don't know. I would think you want some credit. So I am pulling that up now, because I'm an expert at being prepared. Okay. Yeah, there were some people who were very kind in their donations, helped a lot, because after much veterinarian activity, Mr. Kitty is deemed to be better. What happened was, okay, so last time, I forget exactly what I told you, but he was in dire straits, not looking good. The vet had told us he was dead. Did I tell you all this? I don't know. In that letter about the sound quality, right? If I told you this, say I told you it. If not, say I didn't. And I'll get that in about a week. And then I'll go back and redo this episode. Anyway, let's see. I forget how much I told you. But anyway, now I'm thinking I told you this, but I don't know. I'll do it anyway. Sorry, you can skip. Because he had these horrible symptoms, wasn't doing anything, wasn't moving, looked swollen, was just nothing. And an irregular heartbeat and a murmur. And so the vet said, oh, okay, he's dead because this heart thing. She saw the heart and saw the symptoms and said that he's in an advanced state of heart disease and he's a dead man. And then she said we can try some more tests, but she was like, well, I'm worried that it's going to be money for nothing. And because she's really cool. And we thought about it for a while, it took us a while to think about it. And then we thought, he's really young. I can't handle not having spent money on my cat. Cause turns out I'm a big softy for my cat. And so we ran the other tests, like an x-ray and something. And it turned out that his heart looked fine. At least, I mean, he still has the heart problem, but the heart wasn't causing the symptoms, which was what she thought. It turns out the symptoms were like pancreatitis or something. That's what she thinks it was. And so she did say that it's likely he's going to die of heart disease at some point. I don't know. She can't give like a real clear idea of when or what, you know, without doing like some more detailed scans or whatever. But the plan was, so she sent us home saying, give him this food, force feed him, you know, and hopefully he'll, you know, hopefully the pancreatitis will clear up. Well, since I found out that I needed to force feed him, before I was a little iffy, I was like, I don't know if this is good, because I thought, you know, we thought he might have swallowed something. I didn't want to be force feeding him and then he was just going to puke or explode or something. But then once she gave me the green light on, the green lantern on, you need to feed him. I was like, oh, okay, game on. So I just shoved a ton of food down his throat all day and night. It's probably about 2 days. I had to just feed him like every hour, just all the time. It's a big pain in my ass. But if you've ever force fed a cat, I got really good at it though. So I'm thinking about maybe I can offer that as a service to people. Like, hey, if you ever need your cat force fed, I'm friggin' expert at it. And I just shoved a ton of food down his throat. And then in like 3 days, he was so much better because I think he was also starving to death. Because when, cats start, they get one thing and they start not eating. She had said his liver was looking not great because that's what happens when they don't eat. And now he's almost kind of back to normal now. It's a very good story. He's like totally almost normal. He's got a new lease on life though. He's taking everything moment by moment. He's not, taking things for granted. He's not working as much, before Mr. Kitty was putting in long hours at the office, but now he's focusing on his family a bit more and his kids. Well, he doesn't have kids, but he's focusing on on his parents. Just me. And yeah, he's much better. It's so cool. I'm really sad that it sounds like he has a bad heart, so I don't know if that means a year, 2 years, whatever, but I'm really happy that we're gonna get more time with him because he was really young. It was really sad. And okay, so that's enough of the cat. But you guys were so amazing. Just great donations came in, and they all went to my cat, to his cocaine habit. John P. Danielle De T. I don't know if I should just say your names or not. I don't think I'm going to, just in case. Chris S. Joel R. Marie S. Just great stuff. Thank you so much. It was great. And now that the cat thing's taken care of, now donations can go to the show again. But Mr. Kitty was part of the show. He really was. He was on a lot of the episodes. So I think that was, and we really just did not have the money to do all that right now. So that was a huge help. Thank you so much. I'll let you know the next time you get something, and then you can donate more for him. No, it was great. Okay. All right, let's get to some Bible. So I have some good news. We're finishing Second Chronicles. And that was good news for you. I mean, it's good news for me too, except that I promised you guys, I don't know if you remember, probably don't, but once the Bible got done with this Chronicles bullshit of repeating things we already have heard, I had promised, okay, I'll get back to actually studying, because I wasn't even reading the reading beforehand I don't know, 20 episodes, however long Chronicles has been. I just stopped reading ahead of time because I used to put in quite a bit of prep, just that, I wanted to know my stuff. But because, so we're starting Ezra today. It's only the first two chapters, but I realized, I was like, oh, I better read that up. So I did some reading, was trying to check like commentary and stuff. There's not a whole lot in these first two chapters, but I'm gonna just giving you the heads up that I'll be doing more detailed reading now, unless it turns out that Ezra is a retelling of some other book. But it doesn't look like. It looks like we're finally on to new things. Okay, so here we go. We're on 2 Chronicles 35, and here it is. Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges, and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. And he said unto the Levites that taught all Israel, which were holy unto the Lord, I don't know if that reminded me of some movie or something. Put the candle back. Maybe it was that. It's Young Frankenstein. Let's see what else. Put the something. I think it's Samuel L. Jackson. I don't know. Put the. Anyway, put the holy ark back in the house. Why did I add back? Put the holy ark in the house, which Solomon, the son of King David in Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve now the Lord your God and his people Israel, and prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers after your courses, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon his son. And stand in the holy place, according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brethren, the people, and after the division of the families of the Levites. So kill the Passover and sanctify yourselves and prepare your brethren that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. I should pronounce it like people from Texas pronounce Texas. I don't know what that's about. I'm sure people from Texas. I think when you're from a place, you like to just have some, everyone likes to have some information about it that other people have. Like, no, it's not Texas. It's Texas. And I wonder if that's the same with Moses. Like, because it's Moses or Moses. Which to me just sounds like if it's Moses, it's like a plural of Mose. Is that what Texas? Well, it's not quite the same because it's an A, but well, or is it? I don't know. It's a, yeah, plural of Texa. Yeah, Texas. But anyway, yeah, people like to do that. Just outsider. You don't know that it's actually pronounced Worcestershire. Worcestershire sauce. It's Worcestershire sauce, not Worcestershire. Anyway, and Josiah gave to the people of the flock lambs and kids, all for the Passover offerings, for all that were present, to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks. These were of the king's substance. God, I can't wait to get to the next book. Just anything but this. And his princes gave willingly unto the people, to the priests and to the Levites. Hilkiah and Zechariah and Jehiel, rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priests for the Passover offerings 2,600 small cattle and 300 oxen. See, I have nothing to say about this. And it's, I mean, half because I didn't prepare and half because nothing's happening. Conaniah also and Shemaiah and Nethaneel his brethren and Hashabiah and Jaleel. Like, you could read all of Second Chronicles and just, you, what would the lesson be? What would the great teaching of Second Chronicles be? Or of Chronicles, of all Chronicles? Like, what would it be? I understand, okay, you could make the argument that, like, oh, you can't just read one chapter of God's holy book. You have to read the whole thing. Or just read the Jesus part. Don't even bother with any of the other parts of it. But if you're assuming that this is a God's perfect book, which I think a lot of people believe, it's weird that you could read Chronicles, all of it. It's like days of my life that I spent, it feels like, spent reading this. And there's no lesson. It's just, I don't know, some crap happened and the Israelites suck. That's the lesson I've gotten. God's chosen people. God happened to choose the worst people or just normal people, actually. I mean, they probably aren't better or worse than any other people. He just took an arbitrary group of people for no reason and just said, okay, you're my chosen people. Everyone else should die. And just for no reason. Does that sound like something a God would do? If there were a God, would they do that? Let's see. Close my eyes. Pick you guys. Okay, you're the chosen better than everybody else. Why? That's so stupid. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And then they break his rules, supposedly. Like, they never do things right. They're worshiping other gods. They're the worst people. And he sticks with them. It's unreal. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their place, and the Levites in their courses, according to the king's commandment. And they killed the Passover, and the priests sprinkled the blood from their hands, and the Levites flayed them. And they removed the burnt offerings that they might give according to the divisions of the families of the people to offer unto the Lord, as it is written in the book of Moses, from Texas. And so did they with the oxen. And they roasted the Passover with fire according to the ordinance. But the other holy offerings sawed they in pots and in cauldrons and in pans and divided them speedily among all the people. And now this is describing just like a ritual they did, you know, like I don't care. And afterward, it's not like people still do this. Well, maybe they do. Maybe Jewish people do. I don't know. Who cares? It does. Anyway. And afterward, they made ready for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, sons of Aaron, were busied in the offering of the burnt offerings. Starting to slip into Bill Cosby. They were busied in the offering of the burnt offering, the fat until the night. That's a terrible Cosby, but that's what I have. It's the only Cosby I know. Therefore, the Levites prepared for themselves and for the priests and the sons of Aaron and the goo. I love Bill Cosby so much. And the singers of the sons of Asaph were in their place, according to the commandment of David. And Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, the king's seer, and the porters waited at every gate that they might not depart from their service. For the brethren, the Levites prepared them for them. In case you're wondering what's happening, I don't know. So all the service, I'm just trying to get through. We're almost done with this. Terrible. Two more chapters, or one, including this one that we're halfway done with, I think. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover. They're keeping a Passover. That's all that's happening. That's it. And to offer burnt offerings upon the altar of the Lord, according to the commandment of King Josiah. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time, and the feast of unleavened bread 7 days. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Oh, and it was the best damn Passover ever. That's what they're saying. So that's what happened. They kept just an amazing Passover. After they were done, everyone was like, guys, oh, great Passover. Fantastic Passover. You with the thing, with the Passover stuff, the animals and all that. Great job. Great job. Good Passover, guy. I don't think there will ever be a Passover this good again. Pat thyself on the back. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It was a kind of Passover that was kept so well, brought a tear to your eye. Like, that is a thing of beauty. That is an amazing Passover. I just don't, oh man. Oh, it's just, I'm emotional. When I see a Passover kept so well, that I just, it's emotion, you know, it's just the very nature of, to be human, you know, the very, you know, the fabric of us is just expressed in how kept that Passover was. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Cher-Shemesh by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God who is with me, that he destroy thee not." Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearken not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, "Have me away, for I am sore wounded." His servants therefore took him out of the chariot, and put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died, and he was buried in one of the sepulchres of his father. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. And Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. And they're like, man, remember that Passover we kept so friggin' well? Yeah, last Passover he ever had. And all the singing men and all the singing women couldn't put Josiah together again. Spake of Josiah and their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel. And behold, they are written in the Lamentations. Oh God, we better not have to read that. And now the rest of the acts of Josiah, blah, 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 blah. Last book, guys. It's the last one. Or not last book. Last chapter. We can do it. One more. One more, and then we're done. Not with the whole Bible. You wish. You wish we were done with the whole Bible. Okay. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 36. And then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And the king of Egypt put him down at Jerusalem and condemned the land in 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. And the king of Egypt made Eliakim, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him to Egypt. Jehoiakim was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. What do you know? Did something evil. God's chosen people. So cool. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried of the vessels of the house of the Lord of Babylon and put them in his temple at Babylon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations which he did, and that which was found in him, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his stead. Jehoiakim was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. No surprises there. And when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 in Jerusalem. And guess what, guys? Guess what he did? Did he do that which was good in the sight of the Lord? No! Did he do that which was evil in the hearing of the Lord? No! He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. What do you know? Chosen people. And humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord, and also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and all the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by this by his messengers, rising up betimes. I thought the word betimes was bedtimes. He sent them bedtimes. Rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people until there was no remedy. I got a remedy. Hey, I got a remedy right here. Hold on. I'm raising my hand. God, I have a remedy. Two possibilities. Don't choose the people who suck, or choose everyone in the world. Talk to them like you talk to your French girls. Talk to them like you talk to, the whole world like you talk to the Israelites, supposedly, if you are real. And then everyone can be your chosen people. Because why make a people and then only choose a small percentage of them? That makes no sense. Why would you do that? There's no reason you would do that. That's stupid. That's completely stupid, God. Bad God. Bad God. Drop it. Put it down. Put down the chosen people, God. Bad God. Okay, that's better. You got to talk to God like he's an idiot child or a dog. No, God, no. No, do not choose a small percentage of people for no reason and only talk to them. And then when they don't do exactly what you want, kill them. But then have them kill other people. Don't do that. Bad God. Bad. Therefore, he brought upon them king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of the sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons, until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. Wow, that's interesting. So I was going to skip past this because we're almost done, but I'm going to skip with her servants. Yeah, it's like he's having everyone killed to keep the Sabbath, because as long as there's no one alive and no one there, then the Sabbath is kept. That's really funny. Wow, because it says, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept the Sabbath. The land, that is. Wow. Okay, the Sabbath is that important to you. look, if it's such a pain to have people, why did you make people? It's such a pain in the ass. Like, I gotta get some peace and quiet around this place on the Sabbath. That's it. Everyone die. Everyone out. Have them killed. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord God be with him, and let him go up. All right. Done with that. First year of Cyrus. It's interesting. So this book leads directly in the next one. That's why I'm pausing for a sec here. Cyrus, king of Persia. It's kind of like tying in. Who is there among you? Let him go up. Okay. So we're done, guys. We're done with Second Chronicles. Boy, that was terrible. I will say that these chronicles make the Chronicles of Narnia look amazing. First and Second Chronicles make the Chronicles of Narnia like an incredible masterpiece, which they're not really, I don't think. Okay, so now we're on Ezra. And it's not even First Ezra. I thought it was, but it's not. It's just Ezra, because there's only one Ezra. You don't need two Ezras. It's like Chronicles. Why just have one Chronicles? What did you think that was doing, splitting them up? Did it do anything? It just made it so I have to put a number one before, or number two before whatever I'm doing. Okay. Ezra. Now in the first year of Cyrus, who was just previously mentioned, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. Wait, it's the same line. That's what it's throwing me off. That he made the proclamation. Oh, sorry. I'm just getting some indigestion right now. It's probably this Bible. That he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus. Stupid computer. Okay. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia. The Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? If his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel, parentheses, he is the God, and parentheses, which is in Jerusalem. What the hell? Okay, so, all right, so now I get to explain stuff again, because Yeah, so this King Cyrus, I guess long ago, in a galaxy far, far away, at some point there was a prophecy by Jeremiah saying that the Lord needed a house, because, you know, the Lord wants a house. He's at that time of his life. He's got a wife and, you know, thinking about children. He doesn't have children yet, but he's thinking about it. And, you know, the market's looking okay, and he's thinking, I'm going to shop around, maybe get a house. And so, this is my favorite thing here. Cyrus says, the Lord hath charged me to build him a house. And then in the next sentence, he says, okay, so who's going to do that? You guys, can you do that or what? Because I know he charged me with it, but I'm a king. So you're going to do it, right? That's a nice, I wish I had that. All right. My employer has told me that I need to do all this work for him. So where are we at here? Are you guys going to do it? Who's going to do it? They're like, why don't you do it? What do you mean? That this is me doing it. Me doing it is you doing it. But why don't you actually do the work yourself? You just said you were charged by God to do it. So what? Yeah. That's what I said. I was charged by God. Yeah. Okay. So why don't you do it? Yeah, I'm doing it. So you guys going to do it or what? Time's a wasting. I need to do this. Meaning you do it. Where's the confusion here? I don't understand. I was charged with this. You do it. I'm not doing it. I am doing it in that you're doing it. Right? Okay. All right, this is too confusing. I'll just do it. Thank you. Anyway, so that's how that goes. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver and with gold and goods and beasts and with precious things beside all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem. They're talking about the ship in Matrix, right? That's what they're talking about. The ship in the first Matrix. The only Matrix movie that's any good. Right, okay. And he had put, they must have been out of place. It must have been like, what's this ship from the Matrix doing here? I don't know. It's just part of the story. Okay. That's the end of my argument. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and numbered. Oh, Mithridath, he won the election for treasurer, huh? I was wondering who it would be. I was thinking, I would have voted for someone else, but I guess Mithridath, with his accounting experience. I guess I'm glad he's treasurer, Mithridath. He's all right. But anyway, by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, I don't know if he's in his first term or what, what's going on. But it looks like he won the election, and we'll see how he does in the treasurer position. So by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and numbered them into Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them, 30 chargers of gold, 1,000 chargers of silver, 920 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver, they're butter knives, those are just extra butter knives people had. Silver basins of, so if they face an enemy made out of butter, they are set. They're going to spread that enemy better than any enemy has ever been spread. This is it, men. This is the butter enemy we've all been waiting for. Now get out your butter knives and let's spread them. On anything you can see, on bread, and if you run out of bread, spread them on tree bark and, rocks, just anything. This enemy will be spread so thin, he will be forced to, I don't know why I'm still going with this. Anyway, let's see, what was I saying? 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. So they're just gathering a bunch of stuff to go do the work for this guy who has decreed, I need to build God a house. Now you all do it. Okay, and so this is essentially the end of our reading because Ezra 2 is just a bunch of nothing. This usually happens right around the beginning of every chapter. There's like, okay, now let's list a bunch of crap for no reason. So I'm not going to read it. I'll just tell you now. These are the children. I'll tell you what it is because there's always a list. Now these are the. There's always like a. And now these are the number of whatever. These are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those which had been carried away. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar, the ship from the Matrix, had carried away a bunch of people to Babylon to fight agents and came again to Jerusalem and Judah, everyone unto his city. So then they beat the agents, I guess, or they just escaped. Because when you see an agent, you run, okay? And so they all came back. And now this is a list of everyone who came back. Why? No reason. Do you need to know this? No. No one ever in the world has needed this information. There's not a single person. I don't even care if you're in seminary. I hope that's the right name for it. Because like every time I say seminary, I think I'm actually saying something related to semen. Like I actually, which would be very embarrassing whenever you're in a situation where you need to say seminary. That's the last place you want to be saying something semen related, I found. So let's see, seminary. Did I get it right? Sometimes I think it's just my, it's either I'm dumb, which is, that's leading candidate right there. Either I'm dumb or I have a weird like self not confidence. I have a weird like insecurity where something I know is true, I instantly think like, nah, that's not right. Yeah, seminary. Okay. Because like seminal fluid, isn't that? Yeah, seminary, seminal. Now I'm going to Google that and I'm going to wish I hadn't. Seminal. Yeah, seminal fluid. That's Yeah, that's that. That's what I'm seeing right now. Now, fortunately, there was no images that came up. Yeah, okay, so it's not just me. Seminary, seminal fluid, very, very similar. Okay, so the children of blah, blah. So even if you were, so what I was saying is, even if you were like a super religious person, if you're the most effing religious person in the world, you don't need this information. It does nothing. Nothing. Hey, oh, you know what I need to know vitally for my salvation? How many of the children of Asgad came out of Babylon? Oh, here it is, right here. 1,222. Thank God. I know that information now. Woo, okay. That's everything I need to know right there. Oh, tell you what. What about the children of Lod, Hadad, and Ono? What's that you say? 725? Wow, my soul is really safe in heaven right now because of this. It's nothing. There's. All right. So, and this goes on for a while. Children of blah, 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 blah. Children of blah, 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 blah. Children of blah, 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 blah. And yeah, it goes on, goes on. And let's. Oh, there might be something here. Which went up? Yeah, children, children. They sought their register among those that were reckoned, but not found. But from the priesthood. Yeah. The whole congregation together was 42,303 score. Sure, just give us that. I don't even need to know that, but sure, whatever. Maybe we want to know how many. Just say that. Their horses, don't care. And some of the chief of the fathers, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to set it up in his place. They gave after their ability unto the treasure of the work 61,000 drams of gold, 5,000 pound of silver, and 100 priests' garments. Ugh, where are the just a bunch of 100 naked priests running around? Hey, priests, you don't need those, do you? Put them on the pile. Let's get this house going for God. I don't know what that's going to do, but. So the priests and the Levites and some of the people and the singers and the porters and the Nethinims dwelt in their cities and all Israel in their cities. End of reading. All right, so we started a new book. Good times. Good job, guys. Very well done. I'm glad you were excellent. You were amazing. And again, thanks so much for the donations. Now, any donations, if you would please continue to donate, would go directly to the show. Show expenses, trying to recoup some of my massive hosting for 3 years or whatever the hell it's been. Anyway, yeah, so it's anything helps, and it's a very sincere thanks for everyone who's donated. That's fantastic. Some more than others. Not a, you know, the some I'm I don't mean to insult anyone who's donated is awesome. It's not that, it's just that there are some people who donated quite a bit that was very, very, very awesome. And you guys rule. I'm not trying to shame anyone. Anyone who donates is so much better than all you losers who don't donate. So that right away is great. Okay. Just kidding. Anyway, yeah, I guess I'm done. So check out, maybe I'll try to do another episode here so I have more. Check out my Twitter. That's at T and the B and Facebook.com/T and the B. And that would be great. Because a lot of you still aren't on those, and they're cool. And all right, I will see you guys next episode. So glad to be done with Chronicles. Adios.